everyone. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, episode 149. I'm sorry, 199. I don't know why I said 49. 99. 199, which seems crazy. You guys were one episode away from 200. How does that feel to everybody?
Feels right.
Should we do anything for that? Should we make a big deal out of it? Or should we just like, no big deal? Like, who cares? Like, what do you guys think?
I don't know. Does it coincide with anything?
Like, no. It'll be, well, let's see. That'll mark the third episode we would have done where I did not get Death Stranding and still have no interest in it. Does that count as a celebration? I tried really hard to be excited about that game, by the way, and everyone talking about it, you'd think that'd be enough to get me all piped up or whatever. I just can't do it. After watching gameplay and seeing what's going on, I can catch the weird story in compilations on YouTube. I don't need to walk around the wasteland covered in boxes, hoping I don't trip and dump them everywhere and pick them up again. Like, that sounds terrible to me. Why would I want to do that?
It really is like if somebody took a list of things that are in the back of my mind as things I just don't like to do in video games and made a game around it. It's like, what do you think about encumbrance mechanics? Well, I don't like it. What do you think about pressing buttons to maintain your balance? Well, that sounds shitty. What do you think about weather that ages you and your gear? Well, that also sounds awful.
Yeah. How about the whole thing is just really a fetch quest one after another? Like, it's just, and he's responded to the, Hideo Kojima's responded to the criticisms by saying that there were a lot of American reviewers talking about this, and they don't understand it. Meaning, you know, there's something wrong with them.
Well, he said first-person shooters are popular in America. And, you know, you can read into that a lot of things. You can read into that as him saying, like, they just like dumb run-and-gun games and they don't understand the genius that I'm throwing out here. And, you know, there's maybe an element to that. He's not wrong. First-person shooter games are more popular here than other places. But at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that you've built a game around mechanics I don't think I'm going to like. And therefore, I'm not interested. Yeah. There's a ton of people who love this game. Like, it is a divisive game. It's not a universally panned or universally loved.
Oh, yeah.
It seems to be cutting right down the middle. But I am not going to try it until it is significantly cheaper, because that game is a great big description of things I don't like.
Yeah, it's like all the stuff I don't like to do in MMOs or RPGs or other games, and then they make it sort of the point. Now, it's entirely possible that the game makes all that stuff somehow compelling and you don't want to stop doing it, and eventually you just wrap your head around it and you just do it. I just can't do it right now. I just don't have it in me. I wanted to, but I think
this is doubly damning, because I think a lot of people wanted this game to also succeed, given just how much attention we gave to it leading up to it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of goodwill, even if the game was not that good, for people to be like, yeah, it's great. You know, like, just to be biased, and still it's tepid. So,
well, it'll sell. I mean, it sold well, as best I can tell. The numbers were good over the week for it. I don't know what the drop off will be like, but I don't know. Like, it's part of me is like, I'm so glad a weird freaking thing like that exists. But it's the first time with a Kojima game, anyway, when it wasn't Metal Gear, where I went, probably just pass, or I'll watch the. I do want to see this weird story and these psycho ideas, but I want to see them without doing all of the in-between seemingly super boring activities. So let me just get that all in some sum up YouTube video, and that's cool. That'll be like, hey, it's Del Toro walking around with a baby in a thing, and check it out, it's that guy from Hannibal, he looks like he's up to no good. You know, I'll get that without having to walk around with 20 feet of freaking boxes on my back and then wipe out at the last second because the ladder was placed wrong. Like, it just doesn't do it for me. So anyway, I mean, I can't really say what I think of it because I haven't played it. So what I'm trying to do here is not condemn it for what it is without actually playing it, because I haven't. But what they're showing me, and I think this is a fair stance to take, what they're showing me is just not driving me. It's just not making me want to do much, well, other than it's pretty and, you know, looks cool and all that, but it's not.
And also for anybody that's sitting here wondering, like, well, why are they talking about a game they haven't played? because we get a lot of questions of, are you guys going to talk about Death Stranding a week?
Yeah.
You know, we see it in our Discord. We get tweets about it. Like, oh man, are they going to talk about Death Stranding? And the answer is probably not, because I don't think any of us are particularly interested in it at this point.
Yeah. At this moment. And I'm fickle that way. Like, 1 minute I want a thing and the next minute I don't. I don't know if you guys remember, this isn't that long ago, but all I wanted for about a 3 to 6 month stretch was every space game you could give me. Give me all the space games. I don't care if they're bad, new, early access, old. I don't care. I want to play space games. And I wouldn't stop. I was just too into it. And at the moment, I don't want any of them. I'm good. In fact, I'm up to my knees in fantasy and a Western. And they're nothing like space games at all. So, you know, that's how we do. All I'm saying is, like, it could happen, very well could happen 6 months from now. The PC version of that thing comes out, which is happening in early 2020. And I go, oh, you know, I didn't touch it before. I actually kind of think I want to pick that up now. That totally could happen. So, you know, check back with me, I guess, in April or June or something. We'll see how it went. Anyway, it's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about a bunch of other stuff, too. It's Core. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger. Forgot to say everybody's name. Now I've done it. So let's talk about some stuff. Bo, you've got this thing going in your head with subscription services. Let's talk about this. I think this is important. Oh. Was this you?
I feel this way too.
Well, that's what's funny, because last week I think Bo typed something similar and we glossed over it a little bit. So now
it was a different thing, but it still had to do with this impact subscription services are having.
Right.
But I'd have I can't remember what it was. It was something different,
though. Well, we'll take.
I ran into a weird thing this week.
Tell us about it.
So I bought, and we'll talk more about it, I see, but I bought Red Dead Redemption on PC, and as I bought it and put in my credit card information and paid for this game, I went, what am I doing? this feels weird buying a video game.
Yeah.
And I realized that we're starting to hit that place where all of a sudden it's starting to feel odd to actually buy the video games that are coming out and playing, because so much of what I've played recently, I've just gotten because I've been a part of some subscription service.
Mm-hmm.
Gears 5, I decided to just jump in. Bo was really pushing for it. I was kind of resistant to it. I watched him play some. I was like, yeah, I guess, you know what? I have that game technically if I want it. I'll just go play it. But Gears 5, The Outer Worlds, this week, and I'll talk about this and what we're playing, I just got an itch to play a racing game super bad. And I thought, well, I'll play my favorite one, which is Burnout Paradise. And then I thought, oh yeah, they did a remaster of that. I wonder if I have access to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, because like a dummy, I left my EA Origin access thing going since the days of Anthem and forgot to turn it off. Turns out I have access to that, so I installed that and played that. This Star Wars game that's coming out that people seem real cool on for, you know, I think for reasons, but it seems unusually tepid, the excitement for it. I'm going to get to play it through that EA thing.
That's building, by the way. Excitement for that game is building, I've noticed. There seems to be a bit of a comeback around the other side where people are like, oh, wait a minute. Some of this recent stuff they've shown looks kind of rad. I wonder if this will be any good. And then, I don't know. I feel like we may see a turnaround on that game. We're just all so sure that EA is going to blow it that we're not giving it the time of day. But anyway, no, that's a really good point. Also, I would like to make fun of you publicly for not canceling your Origins account.
I know.
Given the fact that the reason you had it in the first place was to take advantage of the launch of the Anthem, which turned out to be so terrible that nobody's playing it anymore. I keep checking over there once in a while.
I'm curious how much free money you've given them. I mean, you've given me a lot of free money too, so thank you. Yeah,
although I canceled that. I finally sure,
after
that
12 months,
mud,
I've but... gotten a lot of your money for no reason. Thanks for that. This is a Twitch sub for anyone who doesn't follow this.
Like, I don't know. John's just paying Bo for something.
But how long? I'm just curious.
I don't know. When did Anthem come out?
Yeah, February.
Yeah.
December-ary.
So we'll just say, regardless, it's probably been almost a year now that they've been receiving a monthly fee for me. That, well, I will say
February 22nd, by the way. February 22nd.
So, so you've been subbed. Okay. All right. I'm just going to mute myself.
He's just going to be quietly shocked and appalled. Now, I will say it did get a little extra use through Apex. There was another game I played on there.
Well, Apex being free, what your point was, they gave you some bonuses right. for having
the thing.
There was
some bonuses to that.
Right.
There's another game I played on there that I uninstalled, and now because it's uninstalled, I can't remember what it was. But I did play something else throughout the year. So there were a couple times I checked in, but yes, there's no denying it. I spent almost an entire year giving them money for nothing.
Well, I laugh, but I swear, I'm sure that if I really dug deep and looked around my statement, my bank statements, I would find something like this that I don't think I'm paying for that I am, and that I'll be really annoyed that I'm still paying for it. And I don't know what that would be. Like, this week's been a bit of a blur because Disney Plus hit. I signed up for that. I signed up for at least the free trial of Apple TV Plus. I signed up for,
Still subbed to World of Warcraft?
No, currently off, currently not subbed. Well, I guess that's just the answer. I'm not subbed. I don't know what that means when I say
ESO,
subbed.
Right?
Yeah, I've been playing ESO, and I'm actually, that was actually strategic. I said, all right, well, while I'm taking a break on WoW, I'll stop that sub and I'll move that sub over to ESO Plus because I like those benefits. You get free space money every month plus unlimited ingredient space in your bags. Anyway, so I decided to move that over there. And that made sense to me because when I'm done with one, I know that I just got to go move it. And it's no big deal to cancel it and move it. But I know there's like some $5 a month thing somewhere or some $8 thing that I've just forgotten. And I hate that. I hate that feeling of knowing that I've got... I mean, I probably should just go look and quit complaining and actually find out.
Right.
But,
I mean, there's a sense that, like, oh, it's personal responsibility. Like, you pay for access. But I really dislike the recurring model. I kind of wish all these subscription services had a sent you an email saying, like, your month's up. We can automatically charge your card. Just come to our site, click a button, and say, okay.
Yeah. You'd like them to remind you, is what you're saying. That you,
I find it a shady practice just to be like, well, you agreed once, and we noticed you didn't use your account four times, but let's bill you a fifth time. Yeah. Your fault, not ours. We don't have the technology to implement.
Right. When in fact, they probably do know that I didn't log in for several months.
They absolutely know.
They could easily look that up and send a reminder email. Yes. Hey, you're paying for this. Make sure you're enjoying all the benefits of EA Access Plus.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, it sucks, but I will say I played Anthem. I didn't like it.
So you paid for Anthem two times.
But I played Anthem. I am now playing Burnout Paradise Remastered.
Such a good
game. So one other game, and I'm gonna play this Star Wars game. You know, that's over $120 worth. That's not, I lost money, but it's not terrible.
I mean, I fully plan on doing
a lot better.
I'm going to do the same thing for the Star Wars games. I need to see it, and that's how I want to do it, because if I don't love it, it'll be great to only spend, you know, $13 instead of $59.
Right.
So, you know, like there's value in those services from that standpoint. But then some of them are just downright amazing deals. The Microsoft Game Pass thing for PC is stupid cheap and great. I love it. Now, you could say something for, well, you know, while I'm over there playing Burnout Paradise, I'm not playing Outer Worlds or any of the other benefits I get out of, you know, Game Pass. I think that for me, the cheaper it is, the less problem I have with months where I haven't touched it. Obviously, because it's less money, but also there's a psychological thing that says to me, all right, that's worth it to me to have a thing that I can go to anytime I feel like it for the cost of a freaking Starbucks visit, you know? Like, it's not that big a deal. Now, you could say, well, what happens when you have 50 of those? Well, then you got a problem, and that's a you problem, and you should probably cancel 49 of those things. But in your particular case, I've done this before with stuff where I just forgot I had a sub on something, and it was $15 a month before I knew it. I had given them, you know what this was? Xbox Live back in the day, which was really hard, really hard to cancel. Very hard to cancel that, by the way, back then. I don't know if it is now. You can probably just do it on the site. But back in the day, you had to call a phone number. There was no other way to do it. And that phone number was somewhere in India. And you had to deal with a guy who claimed his name is Kevin. And he would walk you through this process. And it was purposely designed to get me to not leave. Taking a page out of like cable TV book, you know, of keeping people on your service, keeping you on the line. And that happened to me multiple times trying to do that once I figured out I was still paying for it. But it went a long time, well past when I cared about Xbox Live in the 360 era. I was pretty much all PlayStation 3 at that point. And when I found out, I didn't even want to do the math. I'm like, nope, don't want to know what I gave you. No interest in that at all. And now I'm way more careful about it. And I will say this, this is a good cheat for those out there. Depends on what ecosystem you're in, but I use some Apple products. I have an iPhone, and I like to sign up for video and otherwise other services. Like I have a diet app I like that I subscribe to. It's like $1 a month or something. I like to do it through my phone because they keep track of all your subscriptions in one click away. So you just go into the app store, hit your face, and bam, there's your subscriptions. And all of them say when they're going to expire or when they're going to re-up. You always can see that. And multiple times I've gone in there and go, oh, I don't want that anymore. Click, cancel. I get the rest of the time for the month or whatever I've paid, and it never bills me again. I can also re-up very easy from that same interface. It's a taste of what it might be like one day when all of these things are in one place. That would be really cool. Like, I think that's what consumers would love. But instead, we live in a world where Origin's doing its thing, Microsoft does its thing, Disney Plus, Netflix, Hulu, Prime. Like everybody's just in different directions. They all cancel differently. They all renew differently. As much as I love the control we have now over that kind of stuff, it's still kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's easy to miss something. Right. It's easy to fall behind. And, you know, I definitely messed up a little, but overall, these subscriptions, even the EA one, hasn't been that bad. And it's kind of gotten me to this weird place. I'm curious if you guys are starting to feel it too, which is just this, like, all of a sudden it feels like buying a game is this weird experience. Like, I'm starting to get used to the idea of just, oh, I can just play that. Because I did a thing, I get to just play that when it comes out.
For me, yes. The answer is yes, it does feel weird lately because of Game Pass, because of, you know, some of this other stuff, and also things that are coming. My mindset is like, oh, interesting. What is Sony and Microsoft going to do? We know about xCloud. Is that going to be a subscription thing? We don't really know all the details yet. Stadia is right around the corner. Some friends getting that. Patrick Bajon, Brian Dunaway are both on the founders thing, so they're getting theirs. And I'm super curious about that. That's a different kind of subscription, but you know what I mean? Like, we're starting to see this stuff as a service in a much more real way. At the same time, I'm on Steam almost every day saying, what cool $10 to $15 indie title launched this week? Let me see if that's a thing I'd like or not. And I'm having no problem chunking money at that because, again, it's cheap. But being faced with a $59 purchase like Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC was, that was an odd experience given all this stuff swirling around. I totally see where you're coming is what I'm saying. I get it. Or I totally see you coming. What did I say? That doesn't sound good at all, does it? Phrasing, Johnson.
No, actually, it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
But I think there's another follow-up idea that kind of popped into my head. Not when you were saying that. Actually, thankfully, distracting me.
The issue is more that John is doing that somewhere you can see.
I know. Why am I doing that on the show? Look, John, stop the show. Yeah. I see you.
You got to put tape on your webcams. Just remember that, everybody. Just a little
throw a sock over the webcam.
Everything would be fine.
But okay, let's look at it from the other perspective of right now. I know, Scott, you played it. Bo, I think you thought about it, but you didn't do it. The Outer Worlds, really great game, really fun game that we got through Game Pass. Right now it's available on Game Pass.
Yep.
But what happens if you say, you know, I'm not in the mood right now. You know, like you had kind of mentioned, Scott, you have moods for games and all of that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's good. I can tell it's good, but I'm not really in the mood right now.
Right.
You know, it's good. You tried it. But by the time it comes back around and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm into it. Let's get into it. And now it's no longer on Game Pass. How is it going to feel at that point once you're now on the, because it's not like movies. It's a little easier for a movie to go, oh, is this streaming right now? Ah, no, it's not. Yeah. Okay, I'll just decide if I want to do another rental or something. It's a little different when it's, oh, it's no longer on Game Pass. I'm going to go spend $40 or maybe even still $60 to get it back again.
Yeah, we haven't done, that part hasn't happened yet. That shoe hasn't dropped so much. I mean, it has, but it may be in places we don't care about. Like, I'm sure some games have come and gone from Game Pass, and I haven't noticed because either I already own them somewhere else or they were smaller games I'm not going to play or whatever it is. What happens on that day where right now I'm confident that when I get back to Outer Worlds, it'll be there waiting for me. My saves are all good. Everything's all good. Like, how do I know? Well, I mean, actually, in that case, I know I'll have it because that's a Microsoft published game. So in the case of games where these platforms are also the publishers of said game, they now own that studio. They own Obsidian and they own that game. So I'm actually not that worried about that one. The bigger question comes into the third-party stuff. And that's where I find myself a little slow to install some of those. Like, put on Forza Horizon 4, no problem. Because that's a Microsoft title. Will always be a Microsoft title. That'll always be available to me. Go install Ori's National Adventure, whatever the hell that thing's called. What's that called?
Ori in the Blind Forest.
Ori in the Blind Forest. you know, Ori's National Adventure. I don't know that will be there next time I go in, unless they give dates, and even then that feels precarious, like I had to hurry up and play it or something. So there is that question, you know, and that's funny. I never really thought about this, but I guess the games I've been playing on services I pay for like this have all been published by the platform holder. I'm not really playing things that are some other third-party game. That's interesting. Because that's not why I'm going to those services. If I go to EA Access or EA Origins, I'm going for the new Star Wars game, or I'm going for, you know, Apex Legends or whatever. Replay Dragon Age 3.
Inquisition.
Two was bad. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going for all that third-party stuff they have in there. And same goes for when I buy an Ubisoft game on the Uplay store or whatever. The only place I do that is Steam. And in that case, I'm buying a thing that at least I have some sense that I own it now, even though it's, you know, digital ownership is still kind of dubious down the road. And I could get banned for doing something super stupid and never get my games again. But they're there there's more of a sense of ownership. Whereas this leasing system, at least when I feel like I'm renting Microsoft games right now, not renting third-party games on the Microsoft store. So that's interesting that you brought that up, because I hadn't even thought about it before, but I think that's what I'm doing, is I'm subscribing to the places where, and playing the games specifically that are owned and published by that platform, because I know they're not going to go away. So there you go.
But do you?
I don't know for sure.
They could decide to pull one and just say, nope, it's gone.
Well, in Sony's case, we know they're going to pull some with their plan, or what limited things we know about their monthly rotation thing they're talking about. I forgot what was in that list, but it was like Uncharted 4 and God of War
was on there.
Yeah. And those things, that sounded to me like that plan was a rotation. Like, that was a thing where you would pull in and out. And I'm not even saying that's a bad model. It's just good to know that stuff going up front. Then you know what you're getting into. You know what the value proposition is, and you make a choice with your money. In the case of Microsoft, I have to think their first-party titles will always be there because they're theirs. I hope so, but I don't. You're right. I don't know that. I guess I just assume it. And I know they're long enough. They're there long enough for my interest in those games. Like when I finish Outer Worlds, it will be a very long time before I have an itch to play it again, and it'll probably happen when it's a $12 Steam sale on some summer sale. And then I'll buy it over there, you know? Unless I'm still on Game Pass, then I'll go play it over there again and they still have it. So I don't know. We're in the chopping through the weeds with the machetes territory right now. We don't really know what's on the other side of all this. But it is fascinating how it works on your expectations. And I'm having some of that right now, a little expectation fart going on. Because then it's also, even when you buy the $59 game, like I bought Red Dead 2 on the Rockstar launcher instead of doing it on the Epic Store. I don't know why. I just thought, oh, it's the official thing. So, hey, let's get it there. That means I'll always.
I did the same thing and then saw it on other stores and went, why did I do this?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of weird. But I mean, it wasn't on Steam yet. So that was maybe I would have done that. That's probably what I would have done first, is Steam. But it's not there. They're doing that whole window for maximum, you know, money making. And that's fine. But I got it on there thinking, well, this will just at least I'm buying it from the people who make it. So it's always going to be here and always going to be mine. But truth is, I don't really know that. I mean, it's DRM to hell and back. I don't know. Like, will I still have it in 6 years? Will something come along? I mean, I don't know. Like, I just have a lot of questions about it. I'm not paranoid about it. I'm not conspiratorial about it. But
more important, will you care? Because that was always the thing, you know, right. when I was growing up and it was, you know, we were just getting into the N64 days and you were starting to become more savvy about how video games worked and the manufacture and make of them and all of that. And you heard people say how long the battery was expected to last in a Super Nintendo cartridge. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you got probably another 15, 20 years before these batteries start dying. I remember thinking at the time, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. I can't have this game forever. It's not going to last me my entire life. What am I going to do? This is a crisis. Why aren't more people concerned about this? The reality is, first of all, there's a million other ways to play those games now, and that's fine. But also, with very few exceptions, am I sitting there just getting an unyielding itch to have to go play one of those games, though?
Right. I'm in the same boat. So that's the other thing, is we think we're going to want the thing forever. Part of that's based on, you know, like, here's, so in my heart and mind, I would say, oh, I want Super Mario World forever. I love that game. It's one of the greatest Mario games ever made. And so in theory, I bought a cartridge and I keep blowing dust out of it and I've got a Super NES at home and I'm plugging it in there and everything's great. But I don't. I sold my Super NES. I don't know where the cartridge went. Probably sold it with it. You know, I hit a point where I was like, I don't care about this. I'll do some other stuff, and moved on to the next hot thing. And then when it came time for me to go, oh, I really miss Super Mario World, it turns out there was about 10 more places I could get it now. And that was a GBA port, or that's the other thing I sub to is the Switch service for online play. It comes with a ton of Super NES and NES games that are just a huge library for you to play. And there's that game. Like, I'm getting it, and there's plenty of illegal ways to get it too, but I guess I'm still getting that taste of that thing. But I think we all think at the time, oh, precious, you know, my precious, can't let go of my precious. If I don't have this, you know, in 10 years, what will I do? Who will I be? But maybe we just won't care, you know? Like, I can look back on Red Dead 1 and sing its praises all day. I love that game, but I'm not going to go plug my 360 in to play it. And I'm not going to plug my PS3 in to play it. And I'm not going to wait around for them to make a PC port, because they're never gonna. And I can just have the thought of how awesome that was and play the new one. So I think you make a good point with that as well.
It was actually Red Dead that made me realize this.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because I did the thing through the Rockstar games and said that weird. And I got to the part where they said, hey, what free game do you want? And I looked at it and I went, I got that in Steam. I got that in Steam. I like was going back and forth between Steam and Rockstar, and I was like, I have all these games. And the only one I didn't was L.A. Noir, and it took a little investment and time figuring out what I already owned and what I didn't. I was like, all right, well, then I definitely need L.A. Noir.
Oh, I did the same thing. I got the same game. Oh
my. I need to make sure that I'm not getting a game I already have. And then I was like, I'm not going to play any of these. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play GTA 3 or Vice City or Bully or L.A. Noir. I'm not going to play any of them. I don't know why I'm so worried about it, but darn it, I made sure I got one that I didn't already own.
Yeah, I did that too. Yes, Bill.
I think there's a lot of... I kind of had like a galaxy brain while you were talking, Scott, about all that stuff.
Whoa.
Because...
galaxy brain.
Like, you know, like the meme where your brain is...
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
I had galaxy brain in that moment. It could be just because I'm sick and this isn't going to make any sense. So here goes. But like Because I think it came up on our Slack today. Like, you know, there are still people who probably want D4 to have an offline mode.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I think what happened was, I think we really, I remember, we're old enough. We really liked buying cassettes and CDs, the board games. Like, having the physical artifact mm-hmm. of the thing was actually a fun experience for something you liked. Mm-hmm. But the internet came along, and if it wasn't something you were dead serious about buying, well, you just try it out and pirate it. I mean, like, the situation we have now is to stop hemorrhaging money from pirating and to leverage the power of the internet to also, you know, it's a good way to make money, as it turns out.
Yeah.
But I think it was like, we have a problem. We figured out a solution, but that's like a holding pattern, right? Like, because there is something... There is something to the magic of getting the Outer Worlds, you know, box package, or buying the sure. console and having the physical. Like, that comes from a real place of, like, if it's something I really like, I want the physical copy, whether it's CDs, movies, or games. And we're all like, oh, we don't need it. We can just stream it. But there is, like, an indelible quality to having, you know, I mean, John has those great statues. They're wonderful in the back. Like, it's important because you're just like, Sylvanas is in the game. Why do you need a physical copy?
Who's that in front of Sylvanas, John? Just curious. Who is that?
Artanis.
No, Artanis. All right. Sorry, Bo. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, no. So it's just important. So I'm always the galaxy brain part is like, we're just trying to, as a whole, you know, or businesses are trying to work around the, you know, the fact of the internet and the fact that a lot of the stuff's infinitely replicable, if unchecked, and arresting people and finding them can only do so much, really. So, you know, the challenge, and this is where Steam comes in as a big player, because you're really, you're concerned with the Xbox thing, like, you know, it's a subscription. I'm like, Steam is basically a subscription. Shuts down tomorrow. That's your rental fee. All your save games are gone. Whatever. A lot of people are resistant to change because they have a deep financial investment in Steam. And it's not even rational. It's just like, this is where I get all my games. Like, I was so irritated with Origin simply because I wanted Mass Effect 3 to be from the same walled garden as Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And when they decided to publish on Origin, that's like the chief... There's like the principal source of irritation was like, great, I've got to have this game series. And it's very much a series narratively. It's not even a break like Andromeda in two different places. And that feels bad.
I agree.
And anyway, like, I think this is temporary. It's got
to
be.
I think you nailed it. I actually think there's something to that. And, boy, you really got, now my head went and it went to the galaxy as well. Because here's the thing. Let's say tomorrow Steam just goes away. It's not unlikely, but let's just say it does. That definitely is a possibility. They're as ephemeral as the games they host, right? They are just a beast of a machine that does a thing for us. But then if you said, all right, well, what if every game you ever bought on Steam or anywhere else, you had it on a console and you were free from all DRM and any of that stuff. You could be offline and boom, there you are. Well, you don't even control the electricity that comes to your place. That goes away. What are you going to do then? I'm not saying we're all heading for an apocalypse. What I'm saying is it's just 90 steps of ephemeral. It's all just poof. It's all fart in the wind in the end. So what you try to do is maximize the value. Like money itself. Oh, we're getting deep here. Money itself is just an agreement. There's nothing to it. It's not backed by anything. It's just me saying, John, I will sell you this thing. I'll sell you this object and you will pay me this much in that paper money. But at the end of the day, we're just agreeing the paper money's worth it. The minute we all figure out it's not, it's like when the ants figured out they could beat the grasshoppers and Bug's Life. We're screwed. Like, that'll be the end of it. So
I love that this conversation ended with basically, hey man, money's just a construct of the system.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys want to smoke a joint?
I just love that that's where we wound up through this whole thing.
I guess my point is you can keep that. It's possible to just keep going down that line. And instead, I like to just go, all right, who's giving me the most? Who am I getting the, and from a gaming perspective, which is where we'll keep it on the show, who's giving me the most entertainment for the best bang for my for my dollar, whether my dollar really means anything or not. And then you go with that, and you try to trust those who have treated you well in the past, and you make decisions based on bad behavior of a company you don't like the way they're doing it, and you hope that there's competition for that, and it's just all you can do. Because, like I say, at the end of the day, they could cut the power, and that'd be it. Then you got no video games. Then what are you going to do? Wait till you're...
It doesn't help when you say it like that, Scott. What are you going to do, man, if they turn off your electricity?
Yeah, like, you just never turn on your Switch again, hoping the battery will preserve all these years later.
I think there's a correct response if they just turn off the electricity. And it's time to stop gaming and time to start learning how to farm. Because I'm not going to be eating in a few days.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I'm gonna get those crops planted.
This is the long con of civilization. We're getting more and more advanced, and the further advanced we get, the less we know about how to survive. So when all that stuff pulls away like a freaking rug, we're going to be like, who knows how to plant corn? I don't know. Shit, let's go rob the Walmart and hope for the best. Like, we're not going to know.
How many days does it take for this to grow? I'm hungry.
I can grow this in the winter, right? It's no problem in the winter.
It's got to be like, I love this. It's just like the video game. Yeah, this is like, great. Why did we turn off the electricity years ago?
Yeah, it's Red Dead Redemption all over again. Anyway, there's your big weighty topic of the week, everybody. If you have thoughts, feedback, and comments, please send them in. You guys see the new Sonic the Hedgehog redo there? The better looking Sonic for the movie?
They nailed it. They did a good job.
They did. I think the movie still looks like it would be terrible from a I would have never liked this movie no matter what they did kind of standpoint, but I think kids are going to love this.
Yeah.
It seems fun and dumb and, you know, smurfy and, you know, here's your movie. Here's your dumb kid movie. But Sonic actually looks like the proper hedgehog. I have some plot questions. Like, I didn't know Sonic was from space. That was new, and this trailer points that out.
He's not from space. He's from another planet.
Well, he's from another planet, right? And, well, that's in space, right? It's out there.
Yeah, space. But so are we.
It's true. We're all in space. But, like, you know, like, I thought he was just a hedgehog. I didn't realize he was an alien hedgehog. That was news to me. What else? What were you gonna say, Bo? Sorry, got you off there.
I'm just a little confused about what this debate is about. Is it?
I thought he was a hedgehog.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. This is a fair question, I think.
All right.
Let's say you live. Okay. Let's not even get crazy yet. We're citizens of Earth right now.
Yeah.
If you opened a wormhole, a local wormhole, you didn't go up into the sky, but if you opened a wormhole and you arrived on another planet, are you from space? Or are you from another planet?
A planet to planet wormhole?
Yes. Yeah.
Ground to ground.
Oh, that is a tough.
That's
one.
Not from space. That's from another planet. I think there's a distinction.
Right.
There.
I think you're right.
Wormhole is connected and flew here.
Right.
Wormhole is connected through space, though. Right.
The wormhole's connected to the butthole. Right. No. John makes a point.
If you're so far
truly, this is the big debate that we have finally stumbled upon. World to world travel, is it space?
But if it's like straight up like quantum disappearance on this end and I appear over here on this other planet, that is planet to planet travel for sure, right? Because you're skipping all of the space part. Because
he ran through a magical ring.
Right. Well, and the idea of wormholes are that you're folding space in so that you're your door, it's like portal. The door is the exit. So the idea is that all of space and time is mushed down to that portal, and all you did was walk an inch, and you're in the whole other place, and then everything's back to what it was distance-wise.
Right. Like America, there's no halls.
Right. And nobody knows what that is because we talked about it before the show. John was saying, Bo was talking earlier about how there they are. See that?
Wait, don't tell them. Is this on the pre-show for the Patreon?
No, I didn't do it. I forgot to do it.
I was going
to
say, if you want to find out what that inside joke is, you should support us on Patreon.
I totally spaced doing that today, like an idiot.
Oh, all right. Well, then tell them because it's on the stuff.
All right. So Bo was talking about how he uses Hall's throat things. What are they called? Not lozenges. But they are lozenges. Hall's
throat things.
Cough drops, and whatever they are.
You use them.
And he was like, you guys
lozenges.
And he goes, you guys have halls in America? And John says, no, Bo, we don't have halls in America. And at the time, I didn't know if John was meaning we don't have like hallways in America.
Or if you were, what I meant.
Is that what you meant? Okay.
All right. That's what I meant.
Because we have both those things, it turns out.
But you have halls like Mentholyptus, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
We do have that brand.
Okay. It's the concept of a small, narrow passage that leads from room to room that we don't have.
Like a corridor-style hall.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't call it, you never hear corridor anymore. No one ever says, excuse me, where's your bathroom? Oh, it's down the corridor to the left. No one says that. They say go down the hall. But if you're playing a Doom game, nobody says, what's that? Oh, it's Doom. Oh, that's one of those hall shooters. No, they say corridor shooters. Isn't that funny? Yeah. It's weird. Why is it a driveway? Why do you drive on the, wait, why do you park on the driveway and drive on the parkway?
Whoa, I need another.
Stay tuned to the end of the show where Scott will be hitting watermelons with a giant mallet.
Does anyone ask you where the laboratory is?
No, it's laboratory is how we say it. Here.
Laboratory?
Yeah.
Sorry. Laboratory.
Although nobody does that anymore either. That was like a construct of the 60s or something. No one says laboratory anymore. Where's the laboratory? Oh, I hate that word so bad. Listen, just listen how it rolls out of your gut when you say it. Laboratory.
The water closet.
Laboratory sounds like it's a scientific room, though, right?
Right. And it kind of is. It's, you know, you're peeing. That's kind of a scientific moment for your life.
What happens when I mix two parts urine with one part water?
I'm glad the Sonic discussion got here because I care about as much about that movie as I would my own pee. However, they fixed him. He looks better. He looks like Sonic the Hedgehog. He's still got what's-his-name's voice.
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz, thank you. How do I know him from other things? What's he
known? He's from Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, isn't he, John Scorpio or something?
Oh.
Hi, I'm John Scorpio.
Papa Giorgio or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, George Ralphio.
George Ralphio, that's it. Yeah, the most annoying character in that show.
He is, but
in a good way. Yeah, in a good way, sure. So that's it.
He's also on House of Lies. He's quite good in that, too.
What's House of Lies?
Oddly enough, he plays Dewey Duck in the new DuckTales, which is the blue one.
Oh, how is that? Have you witnessed this?
The new DuckTales is amazing.
Oh, is it? All right.
It's really good.
Am I getting
it's
that
also,
on...
It's also, I think, on Disney+. Plus.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, if I can get it over there. All right.
Yeah.
I'm in.
You didn't see House of Lies at all?
I don't know what House of Lies is. Why do I not know what
it's,
that is?
Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Oh, I did Kristen too. Bell. And I had Kristen Bell. Yeah,
they're right. A bunch of, you know, jerk head people.
Yeah.
It's that like was madman, but funny.
That was the first time I'd seen. I think didn't Kristen Bell get a little saucy in that? I think she got her boobies out or something for that, didn't she?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Maybe it was Don Cheadle. I don't know who did.
Don Cheadle got his boobies out.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle was also in the new DuckTales.
Oh, he is. What does Don Cheadle do in the new DuckTales?
Just for one or two episodes, he was the voice of Donald Duck.
Oh, does he? Oh, okay. Oh, really? Like doing the whole that whole thing?
Well, no. The idea was that nobody understands Donald, so they made him swallow a translator that made him sound like Don Cheadle.
Oh, that's amazing. But not Don Cheadle in Ocean's 11 with the bad English accent. Not that version of his voice.
No, actually.
Wait, did they make him sound like, is the story like, here, swallow this translator, it'll make you sound like Don Cheadle?
Yeah.
It wasn't like some other fictional character.
Oh, no, it was just a voice, but it happened to be Don
Cheadle. It wasn't like a celebrity guest star in the form of a translator. Okay, that's what I'm sorry.
Did he
just watch it?
Nowhere in the show did they say this is Don Cheadle's voice, but that is what the plot essentially was.
Did somebody ask me once if Don Cheadle really did have braces and couldn't walk? And I said, what? And he says, yeah, is he like that all the time? He actually can't walk. And I said, are you talking about War Machine from the freaking Marvel movies? And they're like, yeah, I thought, isn't he like that? Isn't that what? And I'm like, no, it's not. Go away. That's not what he's doing. He's fine. He's fine. That's special effects there, son.
Don Cheadle's taking away acting jobs.
They had to put that plot in the movie because Don Cheadle got robot legs.
Yeah, nobody wants to. Anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog, all good now. Seems fine.
I still think it's going to be a bad movie.
Oh, of course it is.
Will be. It's cool that they gave them the opportunity to do this because it's not often that you see Hollywood make the decision. You know what? I know this movie's coming out in a month, but let's delay it for several more months and completely redo all the CGI of it.
I wonder if the people who did the original design, though, got how bad they feel, or if they got fired or moved to something else, or if that's even a thing. Like, I don't know how that stuff works. There's probably a lot of stories we don't know, but I feel a little bad for those guys, even though I think it was the wrong direction. But they may have been egged on by production. You know, you got guys in suits going, yeah, what if he was a little furrier, look more like a person, try that, he's an alien, right? All right, see you guys later. Like, somebody could have been doing that every day. And those
guys... I think that's the hope. My hope is, and I mean, I'm sure the story will come out at some point. My hope is that the delay gave them enough time to actually work on this. And my hope is that whoever was the driving force behind what we initially saw gave them a little more freedom to, you know, have some fun with it. Because it's not, when you see the side-by-side comparisons, it's not just that they went over what was there with a different looking hedgehog. There's things where he's interacting with things in a different way, doing things in a completely different way. My hope is that if they worked on that movie, I'm sure it was a lot of hard work, I'm sure it was a strain, but that they enjoyed the second process more than the first.
Yeah,
that's my hope.
Probably. Maybe it's the same guys, maybe it's all smiles and happy. But Bo's right. It's not going to be good.
No, probably not.
It's going to be poop. That's just the way it's going to be. All right. Well, there you go. Sonic the Hedgehog. We're going to talk about that Diablo thing in a minute. In fact, let's do it now. Games we're playing this week. So I did get the Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC. And here's the only real bummer about it. Nick was also super stoked to get this game and has had it on pre-order. He tends to pre-order things, and I tell him, bud, they're digital. Don't pre-order. You're just giving people your money to put in their bank. That's dumb. Don't do it. Just get it the night before. He still does it.
Shut up, Dad.
He's not listening to me. But anyway, he can't run it still. It's his PC is perfectly capable, but they had some really rough launch issues that he is still plagued with, and there's a Reddit thread that is 900 miles long with people trying to figure out what to do, everything from BIOS flashes to a jillion other things. It has not been the smoothest PC launch of a port in a while. For me, though, right off the bat, no issues. Just silky smooth, no problems at all. It's played great. I did have the online go down once when I was in there fiddling with that, but that was just overworked servers that night. It was like the first night or something, so I'm not too worried about that. But I'm, you know, well into the story again. Loving every second of it. I love this game. I love this game. This game is amazing. John, you're playing it now again, sorta.
Sorta.
When you say sorta, what do you mean sorta? Tell me what you mean.
I bought it.
Yeah.
I installed it.
Yeah.
I launched it. Mm-hmm. I fiddled with my video settings, and then I closed it.
Wow. That is something. That's great. $59 settings tweak. I like it.
And it's partially your fault, Scott.
Why? What? What did I do?
So you were streaming it that day as I was playing it. And I know you noticed me in the stream hassling you, heckling you a little bit.
Sure.
As you proceeded to play with dead bodies while your allies got shot. Oh, yeah. And as I was watching it, one, I was just having a good time watching you play it. And so I wasn't in a big rush to play it. But it just reminded me of that whole beginning area that I've been through like three or four times now. And I was like, I don't know if I'm ready to dive back into that just yet.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just take a little bit of a break.
Well, there is the whole snow start, which, you know, a lot of people see as a kind of a hard tutorial. You know, you're just sort of forced to go through. One of the funny things about the PC version of this game is there is already, I don't know how you get these, probably mod Nexus or wherever the hell these come from, but there's already a mod to skip that entire sequence. So if you don't want any of that, like that pretty long 2 hour or something ordeal,
it is long.
Yeah. You can skip the entire thing. I liked going through it again because the way this happened last year, I had the PS4 version, but I was really certain that one day we get PC. I wasn't sure how soon. I didn't think it'd be within a year, but I knew it was coming. And so I just sort of like said, I don't want to do this with these long load times and an aging console and freaking 30 frames locked and all this stuff. I want to do this like for real on a PC, and I'm going to wait. And I waited, and I'm glad I did, because I loved going through all that again, because I'm really into the story. I want to just follow these characters pretty hardcore. I want to like listen to everything they're saying. I don't want to skip any of that stuff. And so I enjoyed that run, that particular run through there, even though I'd done it before. However, there's apparently a mod that'll let you just pop right into, we're out of the mountains, we're out of the snow.
Here's the funny thing about level skips or intro skips. I can never do them. It always feels like I have missed out on a part of the story, and I tend to be a story completionist. And I, as soon as I start, I'm like, well, this isn't the character. There's a whole part of the journey I'm missing at this point, and can't do it. I will dive back into it, though. I intend to, because I know I'm being a little weird being on both. Like, I don't want to skip it. I also don't want to play it again. Mm. But to me, the last time I was playing through that game is when I really felt like I'm getting this. And that was because I started reading the journal. Oh, I feel like his journal in that game is the most important part of connecting with that character, and was the most interesting thing to me, because Arthur kind of comes across dense. He kind of feels like a bit of a blockhead sometimes.
A little bit.
But when you read his journal, you get such a feeling for like just a dude who's trapped in a life and doesn't really love it, but kind of feels stuck there. And I don't know. It's very, very interesting. And I appreciated the game more when I started living in that journal than I did. But it's definitely a slow paced game. And that's why it's been a little harder for me to pick up.
Yeah, I get you. Now I'm far enough now where I just love existing in it, and I love getting in there, and the pace and I are getting along in a really good way right now. I'm 100% going to see it through to the end. I think it's a bold decision to make that game so deliberate and so, I don't want to say, the word isn't slow because it's not what I mean, but to not game it up too much, to actually have you exist in this place in a way that's just more visceral, and I just really feel it. I think if you hate Westerns and can't stand stories of the Old West, this game will never appeal to those people. Because even like the first game was more of a spaghetti Western, a little more, you know, soul dude, you know, Marsden was just the one guy out in the desert. It's set in the desert where those things always were. You're going across to Mexico. The music was even more evocative of a spaghetti Western, whereas this is more like a historical record in a weird way. I mean, it's got some melodrama, it's got some cool stuff that's, you know, definitely carries the story along, but it's also much more of a simulated world. And I really appreciate that kind of boldness, because I think it's risky, and I'm super immersed in it right now. I just love being in there. So that's cool. What else? Oh, I can't stop playing ESO either, that game. Gosh dang it. I don't know what's going on with me, but I love it. I play the music all the time when I'm not in the game. I think it has some of the best game music on the market right now. It's right up there with what Warcraft does. I did some really cool older content that I hadn't touched in the Orc City of Orsinium, I think is what they call it.
I installed ESO.
You keep getting this close, just right up to the edge.
Here's the problem. I need to ask you this, because every time I mention it, you treat me like, John, what are you doing? You're crazy. But I still think it's a fair point.
Okay, go.
I get confused by ESO's payment thing.
Okay.
But I don't know what I own and what I don't own with that game.
So it's actually pretty easy. So the way it works, they have... Okay, how do I explain this? All right, so... It's you when you buy the game, right? And this last weekend it was like half off, it's like $10 or something. I think Bo bought it that day. Didn't you buy it last Wednesday, Bo, while we were on the show?
No, I contemplated downloading it, but I didn't end up doing it.
Oh, I couldn't remember. Anyway, oh no, it was my daughter. She did it. It was only $10. Anyway, so the way it works is you buy the game. In this case, you can buy the base game for $10. It was on sale, and I think normally it's like 19 or something. And that base game is...
I think I own that, right?
You probably own that. You
can't just, like, buy Morrowind, right?
Right. This isn't like... Okay. Well, so my understanding is you have... Oh, now I don't know. Let me think for a second.
Because I played it back in the day, which is why I probably do own it, I think, because I played it before any of the expansions.
Right.
And I remember a starting experience where you were in jail... And you got free, and there was John Cleese was there. There was a whole thing about prison, and then you got to pick where in the world you wanted to go. And then later the Morrowind thing came out, and I guess I bought that at some point because I had it. And when I make a new character there, I always now start in Morrowind. There's no option to start in the other place or anything like that. It's only that, which made me think I didn't own the original game on Steam, which is where I was playing it.
So this is funny. The reason that that's the case is two reasons. One, you skipped the intro, which is fine. That has the option, right? Once you've done that whole intro with John Cleese and the cave and the wizard getting possessed and all that stuff, once you've done that, which is just a tutorial, basically, you get to choose where you want to go. If you do that thing again the next time you start a new character, that will... it gives you the option to skip it, but if you do it, you still get that same choice thing at the end of that. If you don't, it puts you in the most recent place that you own. And here's what's cool. It doesn't mean you have to be. It just means they did, because why not? Or actually, it depends on your race. Like if you choose... I mean, this may have changed recently, but when I made an orc dude the other day, a warden, and he started in Orsinium, which is like the orc home place, the home city, and not the latest expansion, which I also own. Elsewhere is on there. It just didn't start him there. But here's the cool thing. You're plopped down immediately in a place where you're standing right next to a portal tower thing. If you don't want to be where you start, you literally turn around to that portal tower, hit E or whatever you're using, controller.
Yeah.
And you now can go start anywhere you want, anywhere in the world. It doesn't matter. You just can pick another
place.
Because
I always do the tutorial, except it gives me the tutorial in Morrowind now.
Oh, well, that's weird. Oh, maybe they redid that around Morrowind or something. That's possible.
It could be. It could just be that it's redone. But then, okay, so then I get into the world, and I start questing, and it shouldn't bug me, but I know there's a store. And when I open the store, it's things like, you want the Assassin's Guild? You want vampires? You want werewolves? And I'm like, okay, I see all these things I can buy. If I don't buy them, do they not exist in the game? Do I have to buy these for these to be a part of the game?
So one of the benefits of Plus is all of that stuff you just get. So when you pay the subscription, like a WoW style subscription, you get those along with other benefits, but those are one of the main ones. You get all DLC, they call it, just out of the gate. And those are just little extras, little pieces like the Dark Brotherhood Guild stuff, or like the... although a lot of that's just straight up in the game now. But when at the time of the DLC, sometimes that stuff eventually becomes a bigger part of the game, and so it's not so much that you need the DLC. So I can see why you're confused, but the truth is that stuff's like... think of it as side stories. Because here's the part that sets this game apart. This is an important thing to say, which will make that make more sense. The game is not trying to be a WoW clone in the sense that... where the focus is. The focus is not on grinding, leveling, getting to end game. The focus is on every quest, even the smallest of quests, are completely voiced, have multiple phases to them, and all have really great like story beats, multiple actors doing multiple things. Sometimes you think you're doing a simple quest fetch thing, or fetch quest, and you find out a half an hour later that you just did one of the coolest freaking stories in the history of ever gaming anywhere. Like, it's that kind of experience. So what it wants to do, more like a traditional Elder Scrolls game, is draw you into these stories and these scenarios and move you from one story to another. And it does it in this really great way. And in the meantime, there's fighting, and there's, you know, building your character up and getting loot and equipping that loot and all the things you know from an RPG. But if you think about it in that way, this is much more akin to something like Skyrim than it is something like World of Warcraft. It's almost like this is Skyrim with multiplayer in a lot of ways.
I think what one of my... so this actually goes back to my I can't skip the intro thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a completionist. Even if I don't intend to do it, there's this I need to know what's there kind of feeling that I have.
Right.
And I think back to Skyrim, right? And there's that door for the Dark Brotherhood that you can discover out in the world. There's a door with a red handprint on it. And you can go up and you can, you know, get your way in there and you can join the Assassin's Guild. Mm-hmm. And then go through that whole storyline. It's really cool. When this, I don't know if it still is, but at least at one point, that was DLC, essentially. That was something that you bought if you weren't subscribed to it. Does that mean that that door isn't there for me when I'm playing? Or does that mean if I find that door and I go up to it, I click it. It goes, sorry, you have to pay us $9.99 if you want to experience what's behind this door. Like,
no, it's, you know, not what that, I mean? I totally know what you mean. It's not that overt, though. So the way that it works, and this, keep in mind, this is like a prequel to Skyrim and the other Elder Scrolls games by some many hundreds of years. So you're in a very different Tamriel right now. There are people, there are hero characters that are alive now that we don't even know about in Skyrim, or there are things that happen in Skyrim that are the result of some of the calamities that happen here or whatever, but it's not set in the same time. So it's not even, you're not even going to go to a place in Skyrim and find that guild. You're going to find it somewhere else. And you can be a part of the Assassin's Guild, the Fighter's Guild, the Mage's Guild, all that stuff, without ever finding a door or without ever buying DLC. The DLC stuff is specific. So, for example, let's say you want to just build your new dad to be the most freaking stealthy, rad, dagger-carrying rogue ever. By the way, this game has great rogues, okay? Really, I mean, I actually like them in this. Like, they're cool. They're more roguey, like thief rogues, you know, like cool looking.
They're
rogues.
Actually thieves and not just fighters that go invisible.
Yes, thank you. They're not the, and no offense to Warcraft, but you're not carrying two giant orange swords with you all the time. Right. You're like a, right. You're a sneaky guy with a hood, and you can, you know, build up your sneak, and you're, and you got all kinds of great abilities.
This is opening a whole other discussion for me, but I'm going to ignore it.
Yeah. You should. But anyway, you go down, or you do all the things you would do to build out that character archetype and play the game. The stuff that's like, oh, here's the Thieves Guild DLC isn't meant to be like, oh, now I have other things I can do with my character I couldn't do before. It's a big chunk of questing story and story content, VO content, like a chapter. Think of it as that. So the game can be enjoyed without all the DLC if you don't want to, but I found that I like having the subscription because sometimes I just bump into it. And usually how you bump into it, this isn't like a door somewhere. It's like you'll be in a city and some lady will run up and go, sir, please, I've been looking all over town for you, please. And you go talk to her. There's something happening in Upper Butthole. You got to come check it out and do the thing. And then I'll go with her. And then now we start this chain of events and do this really rad thing. And then that always comes with, you know, some sweet gear or transmog from that DLC that you wouldn't have gotten any other way. You know, that kind of thing. But the goal of all of that is not to say you can't. It's not like you can't do a certain thing. You're just not going to see a certain thing unless you decide you want that DLC. And that DLC can be paid for with just these crown things, which you can earn in different ways, including real money. So you can just buy the DLC if you want. The part I don't know is this. If you get in now and you don't have Elsewhere, the newest expansion, do you have everything behind that? And I don't know. Like, do you have Somerset? Do you have Morrowind? Do you have, well, you know, you have Morrowind because I think you bought it when you got it and when it was right. The deal. But like, did you get all of those expansions in the base game now? I don't know how that folds forward. Like how WoW does it now. It used to be you had to buy all the expansions no matter what. But now when you go buy BFA, the base game already has everything up to BFA. You know what I'm saying? I think that's how this works, but I'm not 100% sure on that because I keep getting the expansion content.
Well, then that's all I'll say. Is that's what I mean when I'm confused.
Yeah, I mean,
it's model works.
I think that's fair enough. It's definitely a little bit different than anybody else's, but it's nothing. You shouldn't have the sense that you're missing giant chunks of the game. You're just missing some really cool questing content that honestly is meant for people who maybe are max level and are just enjoying the game. And they're like, ooh, neat, new DLC, sweet. I'm going to get in there and do this this whole overarching thing that's like this stuff. And I'm going to get this rad set out of it. And maybe this mount. I'm going to get this mount for just doing it. And mounts you get right away. Like, you don't have to earn a mount. You just have one. You just get a damn horse. And then you get more different kinds of horses and weird shit to ride all throughout the game. Like, it's just, it's not an MMO in that sense at all. It's just doesn't follow that template. It's like Elder Scrolls with people in it. And despite the what seems like weird buying stuff, most of it's cosmetics and then the DLC. And that's really it. Like, there's nothing else to buy. So, you know, you can go buy an outfit or a mount or a little cat to follow you around. But you're not, it's not like you're going, now to do this quest, I need to buy three of these and one. It doesn't work like that. It's just the DLC is just extra stuff on top of an already huge game. And you're like, I want to go do this thieves thing because that seems neat. Ooh, who's this character? Oh, it's rad. We're going to what? Catacombs? Awesome. There's a dragon in here. Like, it's just a lot of that kind of content, if that makes sense. You're not buying items or power or anything like that.
Well, I know you're into it. And I know you're into it because I watched you play Red Dead Redemption and you started talking about elves. And I thought any game that can pull Scott out of his Western world and make him talk about elves is clearly really got him, because that is not how I typically think of you.
Well, part of what I love about it is an adherence to darker fantasy, which I do like. And it's more like what you think of in traditional, like Tolkien-esque fantasy, not sort of the goofy cartoony stuff that we all enjoy. And wow, we enjoy it. It's great. I'm not bashing this at all, but it's just a different take. And, you know, stuff, there aren't goofy goblins going running around with funny little machines. Like, the machines part of it is serious. It's like the Clockwork City with some serious shit in there. Like, really dark magic going on to make it all work. Big giant gear dudes walking around that are just horrific to fight. Like, that kind of stuff. And the elves, all right, I'll say this. The dark elves are broody and pissy. The high elves, because I've been playing some of the Somerset content, which I didn't get into when it came out. That's what a bunch of hoity-toities those people are. Just nose in the air, walking around going, oh, what filth has brought you to the city? Like, they're great. I just love how freaking shitty they are. Ah, it's great. It's just good. They've sucked me into their world pretty hard. And can't get enough of it. How's Diablo 3? You've been playing that again? That's cool. You and Bo both. Are you guys playing together, or what's the deal there?
No, we've been playing separate. I got in. I saw the announcement for Diablo 4, and I needed Diablo in my life. And, you know, I don't know if this was the same way for Bo or not, but I got in. I saw there was a season going. I jumped in. I didn't really know if it had just started or what. And I was just like, all right, I'm going to play it. And I got a Necromancer up to level 70. And then just suddenly I got a notice. I was playing, and it's like, hey, the season ends in 30 minutes. And I was like, what? I've barely done anything. So I tried really quickly to wrap my season up in 30 minutes, but it didn't pan out.
It didn't work, did it, in 30 minutes?
No, it turns out 30 minutes, not quite enough time to wrap a season. But I'm having fun, and I'm looking forward to the new season starting. I'm definitely going to play again for the season.
So do you think I thought the Diablo 4 announcement was going to drive me to play more Diablo the way that Immortal did. It hasn't so much. I haven't gone back to 3 very much, and I don't know why. I don't know what my deal is. I think part of it is I'm getting my gothic underworld fantasy fix from ESO for real, and I'm just not feeling like the need to go replay D3. But I hear this new patch is really cool. Like, maybe I need to check the new season out. I don't know.
Well, there's one cool thing. Do you remember the legendary that increases your damage by 100% for each legendary you have, as long as you have no set bonuses equipped? Mm-hmm. I expect John to remember that maybe a little more. Scott, I don't know if you're familiar with that one. Mm-mm. They changed that to a legend or a gem for your, like a rift gem for your ring or necklace slot. And they made it so that the percentage is increasable by leveling it up, mm-hmm. and that you get double for ancient legendaries.
Yeah.
So that the cap, it's like, I think a meta thing for a few of the classes to be just doing non-set item builds, because that increases the damage significantly, which allows you to kind of come up with your own build too, because with the set, you're locked into, you know, it increases this specific ability by 4,000%. So use that ability, dummy. And there's, you know, it's just not as fun when you're like, you have the set, you're like, that's what I have to play. So it's actually been really cool that they have this gem in there. It makes endgame interesting, because now you're playing science again. I really liked that about That's not a seasonal thing. That's like just a new gem. So that'll be true next season too.
That's crazy, because that was my favorite season that I've participated in, was the one where they gave you the set bonuses earlier.
Mm.
Like
if the you ring had... of, you got the Ring of Royal Grandeur for free, that one?
There was a season where it was like you only needed one item to get your two set bonus. You needed three items to get your four.
Yeah, yeah. It said there's a Ring of Royal Grandeur which gives that, but they gave it to everyone for free as like a
pack. Oh, is that what it was?
I remember that. Yeah, you started with it, right? It was in your bag immediately. Yeah.
This season wasn't actually that great. It was one that gives you a little pool of power that you stand in, but it was annoying because I'm like, I'm not standing there.
I hated it so much.
I'm doing corpse explosion build. I'm like, I got to go find the corpses and blow them up. I can't stand there. I need to stand. So, but this next one's wacky. So after you get 5 kills, you get something. And after you get 10 kills, you get something, which culminates in treasure chests falling from the sky and chickens falling down and attacking things.
Whoa.
And at a 1,000 kill streak, it's just question marks in the patch notes. you get this right from level 1. All you have to do is chain kills together. You know how you get like a massacre bonus? So you got to keep killing. You have 5 seconds or it starts all over again. But the things that it does sounds ridiculous, like chickens and treasure chests falling from the sky. And
no cows? I mean, are there any cows in this?
There are probably some cows. I didn't memorize the list, but it's like a lot of weird stuff. And then explosions of ice and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. But I like, angels at some point will come down and just fight for you as like pets.
That's cool.
But the 1,000, I need to get 1,000 kill chains. I have to find out what happens at 1,000.
Wow.
It must be cows, actually, now that you mentioned it.
By the way, this reminds me, I got an email this week from, or maybe it was Twitter. Shoot, I don't remember. Said that they think that the person in the grave in the gameplay trailer isn't Deckard Cain, that person in the grave is a now mortal Tyrael, and that old guy is, I forgot his name, but the Haradrim dude that's hanging out
Lorath.
With him. Lorath, yeah.
Lorath Nar or something like that.
Yeah, how do we like that theory? That seems interesting. Maybe.
I want Angel Tyrael back. Not that I have anything wrong with mortal Tyrael. I just think that Tyrael is the coolest looking character Blizzard has ever designed.
I mean, he is rad. He could come bursting out of the ground, though. There's, you know, that world doesn't, no one ever truly dies.
Something. My one fear, honestly, if I was going to say this is the maybe two things that I'm the most concerned about Diablo 4 with, is I'm worried that in their quest for bleakness and darkness, they're going to make two weird mistakes. They're going to get away from some of the stuff that I genuinely like about Diablo, that Diablo 3 really leaned into in a fun way. And I am... still not 100% sold on the more limited color palette. I miss color in the game. Mm. I don't mind dark, but I like colorful dark. I don't like going back to Brown Town for all my graphics.
Brown Town.
Careful.
Let's not talk about Brown Town.
Nobody wants to go to Brown Town. I can tell you that.
Like, I just feel like maybe they might try to push that pendulum a little too far in response to, people got mad about Diablo 3. But that doesn't mean I don't want to see Tyrael. It doesn't mean I don't want to see stupid things like Frostmourne in the game for some reason, you know, stuck in some ice in the background, or literally getting Thunder Fury, Blessed Blade of the Windseeker as a weapon that I can wield and run around with. Like, I hope that spirit that's a little tongue-in-cheek still remains, even as they're trying to make it dark.
I'll bet you they do. I'll bet it's full of references. I'll bet you still get like a dead mouse trinket or something. You know, they'll find some other super fan of Diablo and include him in the game. There'll be other weird references. Like I love the tie-ins they did with Heroes, with the story stuff, with character descriptions and like their weapon, like the, what do you call that when they're, what do you call it when it's a better weapon in the game that drops something?
Legendary?
Not legendary. It's higher than that. It's the one where you get the borders that are perfect ancient. Around it. Ancient, yes.
Well, there's Ancient Legendaries and there's Primal
Legendaries. Primal Legendaries, yeah. But either one of those, I can't remember which one, but it was like Johanna's flail. And it had like little backstory text, flavor text down there about no one's seen her. They don't know where she is, but it was the implication that she was in the Nexus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She has a legendary item with the flavor text.
Yeah, I love that stuff. That stuff's great. Yeah. And I don't think they're going to lose that. I really don't. I think that the general direction in the darkness, I am sort of all in for, because, again, I like my fantasy a little darker. But, you know, hopefully there'll be some. What I hope is the colorful moments will be so contrasty to Browntown that it'll be just unbelievable. You just be like, oh my gosh, look at the way that thing exploded, or look at the green ooze coming out of his bum. that's quite the look, you know, against this backdrop of dreary future Tristram or whatever. I think it has potential to do both. I hope your concerns are not realized, but I also share them a little bit. I totally get it. I get what you're saying. Yeah. We're not looking for, you know, we don't want necessarily Joe Sirius to take over all of Blizzard development. Like, maybe you can back up.
I don't know, man. They got a lot of praise for what they showed, John.
Mm-hmm. They did.
I wouldn't keep my hopes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a line. I mean, honestly, playing Diablo 3 again, that game's dark.
Yeah, like, it's plenty dark.
I think people are a little bit crazy with when they call that game. Yeah, it's completely. It's not dark enough, but, you know, that's my opinion. That's my takeaway. I could be just as wrong as I think they are. So.
Well, the claim that they used to make that it was like, wow, that was always misplaced. I'd never agreed with that because it didn't look like wow to me. If anything, the story points were maybe more wow-like. They were more simplified and you could tell they were sort of the Metzen-esque sort of hero story stuff going on in the background. But the actual minute-to-minute play, the zones, the dungeon, random dungeon stuff, that all, you know, that's slimy, gross, bloated corpse stuff. It's great. Nothing wrong with any of that.
I don't know. In the gameplay trailer for Diablo 4, the towns, I would say it would be a disservice to say that they looked similar. Like, I think the Diablo 4, what they did show of, like, the towns and stuff were way more detailed and dark and reminded me more of The Witcher than anything else.
Mm.
Yeah.
The Witcher has definitely, like, Velen, at least. The Velen area has a very distinct boggy, you know, it seems like a really crappy, disease-ridden place to live. And so I can imagine there being other zones, but at the same time, they've gotten so much feedback about Diablo 3, and it really feels like they're trying to take that feedback, including some of the stuff we might not disagree with, or we might disagree with, and really make this a win for the critics, for even the loudest of critics.
Even if they don't just totally solve that, like, they, at the very least, they seem like they're taking what made Diablo 2 tonally extremely popular about that game was its tone. And then they're taking a bit of Diablo 1 and they're taking a little bit of Diablo 2. And they're certainly taking things from combat and from gameplay flow from 3. I think this is good. Like, bring all this. They kept saying it on stage. We've learned a lot and we're taking lessons from every game we've done and we're putting it all, you know, trying to put all the best stuff into this. And if they're, you know, serious about that, I think that sounds good to me. Like, I have faith in it.
Like, and I don't have a problem with them trying to come up with Diablo's world having its own identity beyond isometric WoW.
Yeah.
Which is how I think it got labeled in the Diablo 3 era. And I don't think that's necessarily unfair. There's definitely a quality of that.
Right.
So I think maybe leaning into an art style that is more Witcher-esque, a little more its own thing, I think that can be fine. I don't want them to forget that they're a game that featured a level with a bunch of upright cows just going moo.
I mean, even Diablo 2 had that, so I feel like you're safe. I feel like they're going to have, they'll have fun, it'll feel Easter eggy, it won't feel too over the top, and they'll still be able to adhere to this sort of dark stuff, and it will really separate the game from the rest of their lineups. I think that's good. Like, really create the space that is Diablo in your lineup of video games. It's, you know, truly its own place without too much influence from WoW and other games. Like, just have it really stand out as its own thing in the way that Overwatch does, in a totally different way. I think that's good for Blizzard. At least I think it's
I think the difference is this, like in Diablo 3, you know, Diablo kind of gets burst in smoke or in laser light, you know, when it comes. But in the trailer, we saw three people's guts get ripped open to form an interdimensional womb and watched, you know, even as she's born, there's like placenta like crap hanging off of her horns and stuff. They didn't go all out, but like it's there. There's like, you know, goop and grossness. Yeah. And I think that is scrubbed from Diablo 3, at least reveling in disturbing things that you would see in a game like Doom or in a game like Witcher 3 that I think people expect from the Diablo franchise. I think people want to play and go like, ew! Yeah. Like, I know I do. So I'm kind of, that's what I'm rooting for. I don't know if I'll get it either.
Well, in some ways, that's Diablo. Diablo owns that, the origin of that kind of video game tone, right? For all those years back, yeah, from 96 forward, like that's what RPGs tried to be like and look like. And so this is just them kind of taking it back. I'm totally cool with everything I'm seeing so far. Yeah. I'm really excited.
The trailer was so good. I'm still watching it daily. I don't know about you guys.
I've watched it, I don't know, 15 times or something. It's a lot.
I watched it 17 times, Scott.
I'm going to go do a goofy like audio cut of it like I did with that WoW thing because I just can't help it. So I'm going to do something with fart noises and stuff. Look forward to it. It'll be great. All right. By the way, that Sylvanas line I used at the end of that video is from Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of great lines in the Heroes.
Yeah, the final... Here, I'm going to play a little for the chat, but you can hear this audio here. Hold on. Let me skip ahead. That's into that. That's me doing that. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
At least I took a throne.
Anyway, that was really fun to make. If you don't know what it is, go look at my YouTube channel and wonder why I bother. All right. Bo, Overwatch. A little bit of that still. How's that going?
I've been playing like... Once I finally got unsick enough to play games, all I wanted to do is play Overwatch.
Nice.
Quick match is good. So they did the thing we've been asking for at Heroes forever. And quick match is just Q is tank, Q is healer, Q is damage. So you always get two tanks and two healers and two damage. Mm-hmm. And so you got to wait a little longer if you want to play, I don't know, damage. But you get to be damage, and you don't have to go, someone play tank, release the game, there's no tank, me. So it's actually pretty awesome to just be able to queue up and play something that you want.
Yeah.
You have to wait a little longer between games, so that kind of sucks. But overall, it's just kind of fun knowing I got in a game and I can play Ashe. Mm-hmm. And... yeah,
there aren't going to be four Ashes, and the team needs to be more. Yeah, I think that was really smart of them to do.
It usually comes up. I log in. I'm like, I try to pick Ashe as quickly as I can. Then nobody's picking tank, and I'm like, great, fine, I'll take Reinhardt because I'm team player, and no one else can be big person. Just that's all gone.
Yeah,
and I even the classic quick match is available in arcade.
Yeah.
And it's all just people like playing Genji. It's like 10 Genji.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Not all
Genji, but it's like it's Genji, Hanzo, you know, Soldier 76. Like no healers, no tanks. It's just all the people who just want to like spam assassin games. So I'm like, I'm out of here.
I mean, it's cool that they do that, so you can still have that ridiculous way of playing. But I really like the more stringent rules in the main game a lot.
Yeah, and I gotta be honest. Like as much as we've talked about D4, like I still feel like D4 overshadowed everything about BlizzCon, but I'm actually like kind of hyped for Overwatch, to be honest with you. I really like the trailer they had, and I know they didn't show off a lot, but I don't know. I'm just I really trying to make a point of playing it more because I really like playing Ashe and Genji. And
well, yeah, if you're in the beta for Overwatch 2, you got to play it.
Oh, yeah,
but like it's a. It's a really good game. Like I think like I was, you know, playing a lot of Heroes and we were playing a lot of Heroes, but I'm freed up more. It's just a pleasure to log into the Overwatch client. Like it's just so pretty. Heroes. Like you log in, it's like I feel so welcome when I log in. I'm like pretty great.
Yeah, it's cool. I'd love to play some more, so we should get some games going. I would love to play. I haven't played with people in a while, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, I've just been playing Diablo, and probably that'll come up again once the season starts. But like, Overwatch is a good time, man.
Yeah, you want to get a few games in here and there? I think we could probably arrange such a thing. All right. Well, that's going to be our show today, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. If you like this show, hey, guess what? We have a Patreon, and it's stupid, simple, and cheap to get into. Not only that, but there's like really cool rewards you can get. And this is what happens when you launch a Patreon, you get a bunch of really great people right up front. And then there's a whole bunch of people that just never do it. And I'm reaching out to you now today, those people. You're sitting here listening to this and you're going, man, I have learned so much today about Diablo Seasons, about Burnout Paradise Remastered and why it's still one of the greatest racing games in the history of mankind. I know much more about Red Dead Redemption and why Arthur Morgan is our best friend. Maybe you heard me talk about ESO and went, damn it, finally, I'm going to just get that game. If that kind of advice is valuable to you, but head on over to patreon.com/coreshow and join the party, because that's what we're having here is a big old party, and we love having you be a part of it. So do that. That's patreon.com/coreshow. Everything else you're looking for is over at frogpants.com/core. And you can find us on Twitter, Core Pod for the show, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. I think it's going to do it. Any words of wisdom, John, before we go?
Overwatch 2 is an expansion pack.
Nice. Man, that's got wisdom in it. Lots of it. Very wisdom-based answer you gave there. Nice job. Bo, would you like to rebut or add anything to that?
The world could always use more heroes.
Oh, see? I freaking agree.
And also... China!
Hello, China.
China!
All right, great. Hey, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll see you next time on another episode of Core. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
China!